Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
Right now, we're supposed to have a guest, but we can't get him on air. So now I have no idea what we're going to do. We're just going to sit here and wait for technical to get it right. Anyway, there's a story that I came across over the weekend. And basically, if you conduct a Google search, there will always be results that come out, the search results. And sometimes those results, obviously, they are ranked based on what's the most popular, but also the most relevant. It's a PageRank algorithm. Larry Page came up with it. And up until very recently, it'll give you up to 100 pages of search, right? So you'd go from 1 all the way to 100. And they recently changed that from 1 to 10. So it's only 10% of the searches now that'll appear. And then the other 99, well, they won't be prioritized as highly as possible. As you can imagine, a lot of websites actually get their traffic from Google searches. So for example, I'm sitting with Cheryl now in the studio. If I go, who's the best video editor in the world? Then it will spit out Cheryl's name. Then I know, okay, that's the website to go to. Everything is sorted, right? However, if you were to reduce the number of results that this search parameter will bring back, some other people who are obviously not the best, but like maybe ranked at number 99, will obviously not feature anymore, right? And this may seem like a small thing, but it actually has very severe consequences in the world of search and just internet traffic. So to help us delve deeply into this situation, we've got a good friend of the show, Jan from Mullen, editor at My Broadband. Jan, good morning and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So maybe let's start off with just the importance of Google, or let's call it search engines now because, you know, SEO is a thing, in terms of driving traffic towards websites.
So, I mean, Google is the reason for the existence of the profession of search engine optimization. And this change that you're describing really hit the SEO guys the hardest. And it's got to do with the way the data is collected about how websites rank, keyword rankings, and that sort of thing. And so for those of us who are just using Google in the regular way, we only see 10 results anyway. But these guys use the secret, not that secret, but secret from most of us, parameter that you could put in the URL to say, okay, instead of showing me 10 results, show me 100. Mm. And they were using that to scrape data off of search engines and off of Google in particular to see how websites were performing relative to one another. Now, crucially, I think the thing that impacted website owners most directly, who are not necessarily like deep into the dark art of search engine optimization, is apparently these SEO scraping bots were causing a huge amount of traffic. Mm-hmm. Causing things to rank higher than they perhaps should have. And so, yeah, Google put a stop to that and took the bot traffic now out of the equation. And that's kind of upended the whole industry for a little while as everybody kind of figures out where the new equilibrium state is. You know, trying to figure out, okay, like everything is ranking differently to everything else now, kind of thing. Traffic is down, third keyword performance, everything is down, like, you know, so panic. Where does everything stand now and how do we explain this to our clients?
Mm. So, I mean, we're going to get to, I guess, the monetary ramifications of this, but let's just speak on the technical aspect. With things like AI, majority of the data that exists in the world, let's say maybe over 85 to 90% of it, actually was created in the last 10 to 15 years, right? So there's more data being created daily. And so you've got artificial intelligence that learns on a daily basis. It relies on a lot of that data in order for it to stay up to date, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of ways in which you can get access to data. You can get it, for example, Grok scrapes Twitter, and Twitter's ongoing. People are always putting information there. Whether or not it's accurate information is another story altogether, but they do have access to it. And I remember when ChatGPT started out, they were speaking about how they literally ingested all the data that was available online at the time before they came out with version one, right?
Right, right.
If you now limit real-time access to that data, what does it do to, I guess, AI developers, for example, or AI systems?
Yeah, I saw concerns about this, that somehow the num equals 100 parameter was going to impact the AI guys. But I don't follow that logic, because if you've got a scraper that can, you know, and that's trying to go as deep down into Google as it possibly can, then I would imagine that you've got a scraper that can click on the different pages. And so whether you are ingesting them, links 100 at a time or 10 at a time, for an AI, I don't know that that's relevant, because firstly, you're not just going to look at the links. You're gonna search for something and then perhaps click on links and ingest the content behind them. And then, you know, you might go on to the second, third, fourth, fifth page. So, you know, it might slow them down a little bit, but not a lot. I don't quite see how AI is going to be impacted by this specific change. AI training could be impacted by people limiting access to the content on websites, and by Google, for example, blocking AIs from using Google altogether, except its own, of course. Mm-hmm. But that's not what's happened here.
Okay.
The blocking AIs from ingesting content, that's actually on individual website owners. And we're seeing a big push for that through Cloudflare, for example. That's helping people who use Cloudflare to block these AI scraping bots.
So here's the thing, Jan, because I can see that this conversation is definitely going to carry on for a while longer. I want to go on a break, do some traffic. When we come back, I've got more questions for you regarding this.
Sure.
It's kind of reminiscent of, I mean, you definitely my age, so you remember Yellow Pages?
Yes.
And I guess the phone book in general, like back in the day, if you wanted somebody's number, you could go into a phone book and look at it and find it, and then you could call the person. And that's essentially what search engines are for the net. So I don't think you just sit there and thumbsuck at websites where you can find the information. You've got to search for information first, then you get directed to it. So it's pretty important and a significant change that has taken place here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's part of a huge swath of changes from Google that I think is worth talking about.
Mm. We're joined by Jan Vermeulen, good friend of the show's, editor at My Broadband. If you've got any questions regarding this, you can give us a shout, 086-000-0959. So financially now, we know that because of AdSense and click-through, a lot of websites earn money based on the results that Google citation, I guess, delivers to them. If you got less results, what does this mean, Jan?
Yeah, so this, it's difficult to isolate what the impact of just this was, because so much has happened in the past couple of months. So firstly, Google last month also rolled out AI mode in mm-hmm. South Africa, and it's been doing these AI summaries at the top of searches, and that's resulted in what is being called zero-click searches in the industry. And you can actually see the impact of this in South Africa's news industry. Our stats are public. It's published by, made public by the IAB, at least some of our stats. And you can see that all of us are down. There's a handful of websites that have shown some growth, usually off of a low base. But the big ones, we've all taken a knock. And so if you're running programmatic ads, then that directly impacts your income. Most of the top big sites don't rely exclusively on programmatic. And so they're insulated from that in some respect. But yeah, there's a lot of websites whose income is directly linked to how much traffic they do. These changes would have dramatically impacted them. But interesting, on one of the discussions I saw around this num equals 100 change, there was a person on there who said that they're just like one anecdote, and the plural of anecdote is not data, but they certainly provided a counterexample where they said they've seen the impact of this change, and their traffic is down, and their keyword rankings are down, everything's down, but their AdSense revenue has stayed the same. And he says that they've got this site that's incredibly sensitive to fluctuations in traffic, and yet they've seen stability in their income during this change. So there's some big ructions happening at Google. And right now, me extending the benefit of the doubt is that they're trying to remove the impact and the impact in terms of monetary value and in terms of like search rankings of bot traffic by doing stuff like this.
One last question, at the risk of getting even more late. Does this mean that Google searches and results are more accurate as a result of this, or less accurate?
We don't know yet. So probably in the long term, it'll be less influenced by bot traffic, which, you know, might make it more accurate from the perspective of humans. So to you and me, I'd say probably more accurate, but it's too early to tell. These kinds of changes take a while to ripple through to you can see how it's going to impact the search results long term.
Thank you very much, Jan from Mulin, editor of My Broad Brand, good friend of the show. And I guess it remains to be seen what kind of impact these changes are going to yield.
I think in my view, AI is the best. I actually stopped using Google Search as a search engine. You just go to AI, you put exactly what you want and tell them how many websites you want to see from, the results, the prices, and everything if you're looking for something to buy. And then they will give you all what, without having to go through this whole thing of going to 10 websites. You just tell them how much, the price range, and then you say what is it that you want. Strictly in South Africa, within so many kilometer radius and stuff, it will give you all that information without having to go to Google. Because I've seen when you go to Google, then it will start giving you, let's say for example, I'm searching for Standard Bank, we start showing you NetBank, FNB, Capitec, Bitvest, and all that. It doesn't start with that Standard Bank that you have mentioned. So with AI, it starts with what you want, simple and plain.
I suppose maybe that is another way. I'll be honest, I hadn't used ChatGPT until like maybe, I don't know, I think 3 months ago. There was a technical drawing that I wanted to make of a mic arm. And I was pretty impressed with the detail that came out in that technical drawing. So I guess there it seemed to work. But you also need to know what the technical parameters are to put in your instruction for that AI to draw, I guess, whatever you're trying to draw in the way that you want it drawn.
You missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.